Morning. Today's daf in Nida's daf hey. We're at the two dots towards the bottom of Dalam and Beis. We're starting this morning with the words Kol Isha Yishla Vest. We're talking about a woman who has a fixed menstrual cycle. Fixed menstrual cycle where on the calendar she knows to the day when she's expected to start menstruating. What halachic significance does this woman have? So you go back to the Mishnah and relate it back to the topic of the Mishnah, and that is the idea of Daishaita. We know that in the Mishnah teaches us that, generally speaking, women are going to have to be concerned that even though they discover the blood that comes out of them at a given point in time, but we're concerned that the blood actually existed in an earlier period in time, and so therefore the tumah is going to go back retroactively. How far back retroactively are we going to go? So there were two opinions in the Mishnah. Hillel's position is the last time she did an internal examination. The Chachamim say 24 hours. Shammai happens to be of the opinion that she doesn't go back at all. Dain Shaitan. In other words, there is no retroactive tumah. And the Gemara did spend a lot of time with the Shita of Shammai. I say a lot of time, by the way. I mean three pages. Dav Beis, Gimel, and Dalid dedicated themselves to the discussion of the opinion of Shammai. But okay, that's Shita Shammai. But nevertheless, the Shita of the Chachamim, the Shita of Hillel, is that you go back. So the Mishnah says it's true, but there's an exception. The Mishnah says an exception would be a woman who has a vest. A woman has a fixed menstrual cycle, so she doesn't go back. And if you think about it, it makes sense. Mistaber. Why does it make sense? Because she knows exactly when it's coming. She knows to the day in terms of which it's coming. She's been seeing it like this at a repeated clip. We'll talk exactly how a woman establishes a vest. That's a discussion that's going to be had later in the Gemara. Right now, we're assuming that we know that she has a vest kavua. She has a fixed cycle. And so, it's mistaber. In other words, because she has it on this day every single month, so therefore, we're not going to assume that it came any time earlier. That's the simple explanation of the Mishnah. And this is the idea of an Isha Sheyesh Lavest, a woman who has a fixed menstrual cycle. And she does not go back. By her, everyone's going to agree. You say Dain Shaita. That is our Mishnah. We're going to pick it up right now at this point in the Gemara. Lema Masnisin. So you could find us now on Dalmud Beis, towards the bottom of the Amud. Lema Masnisin, Rabbi Dosi, Velo Rabbanan. So presumably our Mishnah is going like the opinion of Rabbi Dosi, not the opinion of the Chachamim. So obviously the Gemara here is alluding to a Machlokas HaTanaim, which we haven't seen yet, but we're going to see it right now. D'Tanya, the Gemara quotes the following Braisa. Rabbi Lozer Omer, Arba Nashim Dain Shaitan. Rabbi Lozer is of the opinion that only four women are going to have this benefit of not going back retroactively. The four women are Besula, Mubaris, Meniku, Zekena. Besula, a woman who is a virgin. We're going to be talking more exactly what that means. Does that mean like literally a virgin? A virgin also has a menstrual cycle. So let's hold off on that discussion in terms of the definition of Besula in this context. We will discuss it a little bit later on in the Masechta, a couple days from now. So put a bookmark over here. In other words, we're not really giving pshat in what a Besula is. Mu'ubaris, a woman who is pregnant. Menika, a woman who's nursing, is a Kena. And a woman who's older. Now, these last three women are much easier to explain because they have a very simple common denominator. And that is, there's not a lot of bleeding. A woman who's pregnant, so she's not menstruating. A woman who's nursing, also not menstruating. And a Zekena is a woman who went through menopause. So these are women who are not bleeding. And as a result of that, we say Dain Shaitan. In other words, the Svara, the simple Svara, according to Rav Elazar, is that these women, because they have a less blood, right, damim misulakos, so they have less blood, so therefore we're not going to assume that the blood came out any earlier. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. But only these four women, meaning, but generally speaking, we're going to go back. Okay. And Rabbi Dosa, Omer, Kol Isha Sheish Laves, Dayashaita. Rabbi Dosa is of the opinion that any woman has a fixed menstrual cycle, we're going to say Dayashaita, that we're not going to have any retroactive tumah. Now, a couple things about this Braisa. Right now, the Braisa presents this position of Isha Sheish Laves as a Das Yachid, as a singular position, Rabbi Dosa. Now, is someone arguing with Rabbi Dosa? Now, to say that Rabbi Lazar is arguing with Rabbi Dosa, I mean, you could say that. You could say Rabbi Dosa is adding to Rabbi Lazar. But as Rashi points out over here, there's an anonymous Tanakama, meaning Rabbi Dosa is responding to another position out there, which the Braisa just happened not to articulate. And the other position is that, no, in other words, that when it comes to a woman who is, even a woman who has a fixed menstrual cycle, we're not going to say Dain Shaitan. And Rabbi Dosa is arguing with that. So the first thing to realize is that in this Braisa, the Braisa records the position of Rabbi Dosa, again, it happens to also record the opinion of Rebbe Lazar, but that we could just put aside for now. Rebbe Dosa is arguing with the Shita of the Chachamim, and the Chachamim are seemingly going to be more stringent. Now, with that stated, what the Gemara's point is that our Mishnah is going like Rebbe Dosa. Now, you understand what the Gemara is doing. The Gemara is now saying that our Mishnah is really Das Yachid. Our Mishnah is now just a singular position, but is not subscribing the mainstream popular position. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. I feel a Tim Rabbanan. I can't plead Rabbanan to Rebbe Dosa. So the Gemara says, look, I agree. There is a machlokus between the Chacham and Rebbe Dosa. But that's only Shalom B'Shas Vesta. That's talking about the following. This woman has a fixed menstrual cycle. She has a vested kavua. What we're going to be assuming throughout this discussion that the woman in question here has a vested kavua. She has a fixed cycle. And now within the fixed cycle, so when did the blood come? When did her next cycle begin? As expected? Or maybe it came a little bit earlier? So what the Gemara now is going to present is that the machlokus between Rebbe Dosa and Chachamim is limited. What is it limited to? So let's see it again inside. Lo plig Rabban Alad Rebbe Dosa Lo Shalom B'Shas Vesta. If the woman is bleeding now, she has a vest kavua, she has a fixed cycle, but it happens to be that this month she went off track. She went off cycle. So there's a debate. Avav B'Shas Vesta Module. And as far as if she has her bleeding on her fixed menstrual cycle, so then Kuliyama, everyone would agree, Dain Shaitan. That we only go from this point forward and then we don't go back retroactively. Umasizim B'Shas Vesta V'Divrei Hakol. And as far as the Mishnah is concerned, you don't have to reduce the Mishnah to just the opinion of Rebbe Dosa. Our Mishnah is just talking about a case where it's a woman with a vest kavua, and she saw it at her expected time, and we just established now that according to everybody, both Rebbe Dosa and the Chachamim, Dain Shaitan. That's the way you can explain our Mishnah. Now the Gemara says, Mechlad Rebbe Dosa Afilu Shalom B'Shas Vesta. So the Gemara says, okay, but if you're listening carefully to what you're saying now is that in a case where a woman has a vest kavua and she sees at her fixed time, so the Gemara says, so then we have agreement. You're telling me now that according to Rebbe Dosa, a woman who saw not at her fixed time, Rebbe Dosa is taking the position that we're going to say Dain Shaitan, that we're not going to go back retroactively. So Amar Mantan Lahadatan Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, okay, but I have another braisa, and you're going to have to identify who the author of this braisa is. The braisa reads as follows. Isha sheish la vest, a woman who has a fixed cycle, kis matamim lamafreya, shim tira shelo b'shas vesta matamim meis leis. So if she has a kesem, now a kesem is a stain. Now we're going to be talking about kesemim a lot in the course of this mesechta. There's an entire perek here in Nida dedicated to the topic of kesemim, and that's the eighth perek of our mesechta, later in the mesechta. A kesem is basically a stain found on her clothing or on her body, and we'll talk about that later in the perek as well. And we don't know. We don't know when it came. We don't know where it came from. Okay. And she obviously did not have a hargasha. She didn't have a sensation, a bodily sensation. If she had a hargasha, so then she would have known exactly when it came out. She didn't have a hargasha. So even if it's a stain that is coming from her, meaning internally, but it's without a hargasha, so is she going to be a nida? Now the answer is yes, but strictly speaking, on a Torah level, the answer is going to be no. A woman only is a nida when she has blood with a hargasha. We're going to learn this together later on in the Masechta. Despite that, the Chachamim made a gzera derabanan, and I'm going to show you Rashi a little bit later on this morning. The Chachamim made a gzera derabanan that when a woman has a kesem and it came from her, in other words, again, we don't know for sure. She didn't see it coming out of her body, but it most probably came from her. It was on her clothing. It was on an undergarment. It was on her body. And again, the likelihood is it came from her, based on where the blood is on her clothing, on her body, so then, midrabanan, she is going to be deemed a nida. Fine. With all that stated, are we also going to be tamitamil mafreya? So the braisa says, isha sheish la vest, if the woman has a fixed cycle, kis matamil mafreya. It is going to go back retroactively. The tumah is going to go back retroactively. Now, when it comes to a kesem, retroactive to what? Don't tell me the retroactive to her discovery, meaning 24 hours back from her discovery, that's arbitrary. It must mean when we say Lamafre regarding Samim, the last time that she laundered this garment. And she knows for sure that this garment was clean. And additionally, Imtira Shalobashas Vest, if she happened to have seen not at the fixed cycle, meaning she's a woman who generally has a fixed cycle, but she saw not her fixed cycle, Matame Meisleis, then we're going to go back 24 hours. So now, Neymar Rabban Hivalo Rebbe Dosa. So the Gemara says, now the author of this Braisa is going like the Chachamim and not Rebbe Dosa. Okay, and meaning because we already established that according to Rabbi Dosa, a woman has a fixed cycle, we're going to say dying shaitan, both when she saw at her fixed cycle, and even if she didn't see at her fixed cycle. And so this Bryce over here is going like the Chachamim and not Rabbi Dosa. So Afilatim Rabbi Dosa. So the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. The Bryce could be going like Rabbi Dosa. I can't look like Rabbi Dosa, like the Rabban Allah B'Shaz Vesta. It could be that the debate between the Chacham and Rabbi Dosa is only when she has a fixed cycle and she saw on her fixed cycle. Avashalah B'Shaz Vesta, but if she saw not on her fixed cycle, meaning she has a fixed cycle, but it happens to be that her cycle started a little bit earlier, so then Moduluhu. So then there would be agreement between the Chachamim and Rabbi Dosa that we're going to go back retroactively. And now the Gemara ping-pongs back to, oh, and as far as our Mishnah is concerned, well, our Mishnah is going only like Rabbi Dosa, and the Mishnah is not going like the Chachamim. Okay, so the Gemara said, and, I'm sorry, Ubraisa Divrei Hakol. And the Braisa is going like everybody. All right, so now, if you're following, I know this is a little bit confusing, this discussion is a little bit complicated, but if you're following, so that means to say as follows. We know we have a machlok between the Chacham and Rabbi Dosa. That's the given. The question mark, the ambiguity is, what are they debating? Are they debating, they are talking about a woman who has a vest kavua? Are they debating when she has a vest kavua and she sees on her vest kavua, where Rabbi Dosa is taking a lenient position, the Chachamim say, no, we're going to go back retroactively. But the woman who saw not on her fixed time is going to for sure go back retroactively, according to everybody. That's one way to explain it, or no. The other way to explain it is, a woman who has a fixed cycle and sees on a fixed time, everyone agrees, dain shaitan, that we're not going to go back retroactively. And the machlokas between Rabbi Dosa and the Chachamim is only when she saw not at a fixed time. Those are the two possible ways of explaining the machlokas between Rabbi Dosa and the Chachamim. And what happened in the Gemara? So the Gemara has been ping-ponging back and forth between which way to go. And the Gemara says, well, we'll say that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Dosa, and the Braisa is going according to everybody. And basically, in doing that, we've taken the more stringent viewpoint. And now we've come out that, in a case where a woman has a fixed cycle, she saw at the fixed time, machlokas, between Rabbi Dosa and the Chachamim. Rabbi Dosa says she does not go back retroactively, Chachamim say that she does. In a case where she sees not at her fixed time, we have agreement that that we're going to go back retroactively. So the Gemara says, why did you have to do that? V'lukma, as we are now at the top of the Amud Aleph, V'lukma ipcha. Well, look, we have a Mishnah, we have a Braisa. Why don't we say that the Mishnah is going according to everybody, both the Chacham and Rabbi Dosa? Everyone's taking the more lenient position of the Mishnah, and the Mishnah is talking about a case where she has the fixed cycle and she sees at the fixed time, and the Braisa is only reflecting the viewpoint of Rabbi Dosa and not that of the Chacham. Why don't we do that? And so the Gemara says, Kevin de'ikla ukma l'kula l'chomer l'chomer m'kminen. So the Gemara says, look, they are both viable ways of explaining the Mishnah and the Braisa. And since we have an opportunity to be Machmir, we're going to be Machmir. Now, I know that sounds like a funny statement of the Gemara. Well, we could be Machmir, therefore we're going to be Machmir. But consider also that we're talking about Anida. Anida is an Issachares. And so therefore, yes, in this regard, when there are, and also, right, and Taharos as well, and we see so many times that we're Machmir regarding Taharos. So when we are discussing issue of Nida and Taharos, and there is a way to interpret it to be, even though it is a more Machmir interpretation, so we're going to do so in this regard. Okay, what comes out? Just quick summary of the conclusion. I'm not going to go through the whole back and forth again. Is that when the woman has a fixed cycle and she sees on her fixed cycle, the way the Gemara has concluded in terms of the correct way to present both the Mishnah and the Braisa is that the Mishnah is not talking about such a scenario. The Braisa is talking about such a scenario. And the Braisa says that I'm a little bit confused. Let me do it a little bit clearer. Without the Mishnah and the Braisa, a woman who has a fixed cycle and sees at the fixed time, are we going to go back retroactively? The way the Gemara now landed in terms of the conclusion, it's a machlokas. Machlokas between Rabbi Dosa and the Chachamim. Rabbi Dosa says that she will not go back retroactively, and the Chachamim say she does. I and the Mishnah, okay, good, now I got clarity. I and the Mishnah that says she won't go back retroactively, that is only reflecting the viewpoint of Rabbi Dosa, but not the Chachamim, right, which is a little bit odd. An anonymous Mishnah is reflecting a lenient position of just Das Yachid, of one Tana. Okay, but that's what the Gemara, that's one way to read the Mishnah, and even though it's more Machmir, that's the way we're going to read it. Masha Ein Kein, if we're talking about a woman who has a fixed cycle, but the cycle started a little bit earlier than when she expected, so that is a woman that saw Shelo B'Shas Vesta, Under those circumstances, what do we have? Again, according to this more machmer interpretation, we have agreement between Rabbi Dosa and the Chachamim, where Rabbi Dosa says, and the Chachamim say, sorry, they both say, that we are going to go back retroactively, Meis Leis. And what's the svara behind that? The svara behind that is very straightforward. Meaning, if she bled at her regular schedule, so then dying shaitan. So then we're not going to go back retroactively. But once we see that there was deviation from what's normal for her, so then we have to be concerned, oh, you know what, if she deviated, well, it could be then that there was more deviation and the blood actually came out earlier and we didn't know about it and it sat in the canal for a little bit. So there we're going to go back, Meis Leis, we're going to go back 24 hours. And that's according to everybody. That's the more machmir interpretation. And the Gemara says, and we'll land on that interpretation even though it is a little bit more stringent. We're on the very top of Hey Amud Bey, I'm sorry, Hey Amud Aleph, Ketani. Shim Tirish Lobashas Vesta Matami Meis Leis. If she saw, not at her fixed time, so she's going to go back retroactively. Time of Disha Sheish Lavest. Hu de Pliga Rabbanan, Ben Kisma L'Riyasa. We're talking about a woman who has a fixed cycle. And there the Chachamim are making a distinction between a kesem, just simply a stain found on her clothing, versus an actual discharge that she saw coming out. Hashar Nashim, She'amru Chachamim Dain Shaitan, Kisman K'Riyasan. That means to say that when it comes to other women, where the Chachamim do say, Dain Shaitan, that she does not go back retroactively, so then her kesem is going to be treated like her re'iyah, meaning that they're both going to be given the same halachic consideration. So money, so whose position is that? Rabbi Chanin ben Antignosi. So the Gemara says, that is authored by the opinion of Rabbi Chanin ben Antignosi, the Amar of Yehuda Mishmo, Mishum Rabbi Chanin ben Antignosi, the Gemara gives us the memra, Kol Nashim Kismam Tamil Mafreya. When it comes to women in general, so they see a kesem, they see a stain on their clothing, so they're going to go back. How far back are they going to go? So again, like we described moments earlier, back to the last time they knew that this article of clothing was laundered. From that point going forward, we have to be concerned that this stain was there at that point in time, post-laundering. Now, when it comes to women, where the Chachamim said, Dain Shaitan, meaning that they do not go back retroactively, so then their kesem is going to be like their re'iyah. Chutz mitinoke shelo igiz man liros. With notable exception to a young girl who has not yet started menstruating, shafilu sedinim shala meluchlachim bedam, even if her sheets are covered in blood, ain choshesh in la. We're not going to be concerned with her, and so therefore she does not have the gzera de rabbanan of kesem at all. But regarding all other women, they have the gzera of kesem, but the gzera of kesem, if they fall under the category of dain shaitan, so the kesem does not have to go back retroactively. I told you I was going to show you Rashi. Here it is. Rashi over here writes as follows: Ein choshesh shen la, v'afilu ein la b'ma litlos de'beshuk shel tabachim lo avra ikalameimar ava v'lava daita. So regarding our tinokas, regarding our girl who has not yet started menstruating, so there, even if blood is found on her clothing, on her sheets, all over the sheets, it doesn't matter. We're going to say that that's not a kesem. And even if she has nothing to blame it on, she has nothing to pin it on, nevertheless, that's not going to be a kesem. Why? Rashi writes over here. It's a fundamental Rashi. All right, I have it underlined. Because it didn't come from her body. And the idea that if you find a stain on her clothing, that's a kesem, that's a din d'rabbanan. Meaning that is a stringency imposed by the chachamim. V'chigaz rabbanan b'yezmana. As far as when did the Chachamim make such a gzera, that's only for somebody who has arrived at the point where she started menstruating. Did da matsui ba, where once she has a menstrual cycle, so she's bleeding. Ava bahalo gazer. But over here, regarding a woman who hasn't started menstruating yet, a girl, I should say better, who hasn't started menstruating yet, the Chachamim didn't make a gzera. Hol vein ba damim, because, again, she's not bleeding. Ulakamim far shezi wizmana, and later Rashi says we're going to talk about at what point in time do we say that she starts menstruating? Meaning, aside from obviously when she actually starts menstruating, we're going to talk later on in the Masechta in terms of what is the exact age in which we concern ourselves with this, and she falls under the category of the din d'rabbanan of kesamim. We'll talk about that later. In the meantime, however, let's go back now to our Gemara. So, our Gemara now has just pointed out that according to Rabbi Chanin ben Antignos, when a woman has the status of Dain Shaitan, so that means that that's not only true for a re'iyah, an actual discharge that she sees, but also regarding a kesem, where even though the kesem is going to make her a nida, but it's not going to go back retroactively. Anyone who's Dain Shaitan for re'iyah is going to be Dain Shaitan for kesem, with notable exception of a katana, who is not going to be at all a nida with a kesem, because again, she hasn't started menstruating, she hasn't reached the age of menstruation, so therefore she's not in the gezerah of kesemim. Gemara continues, Mi'islay, the Rabbi Chanina kesem klal. Now the Gemara says, wait 1 second. In order to entertain this entire discussion, you have to tell me that Rabbi Chanina subscribes to the whole principle of kesemim. The Gemara says, Va'atanya, but consider the following brisa. Klal nashim kismam tameh. When it comes to all women, so their stains are going to be tamei. Meaning, again, stains they found on their clothing. And any woman who is given the status of dain shaitan, meaning like our Mishnah, the woman who has a fixed cycle and so on her fixed cycle, so then the kesem is also going to be tamei as well. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, now Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus in the Braisa makes the following declaration, that when a woman is under the category of dain shaitan, so that means that she'll be a nida only with a re'iyah, only when she sees a discharge. But if she only discovers a kesem, the simple reading of the brisa is that she's not going to be a nida. Sounds like Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus disagrees with the entire institution of kesem. So my love ain't like kesem klal. Is that a fair way to read the brisa? What we just said? So lo, the Gemara says no. It's not a fair way. So the Gemara says, no, you misinterpreted the Braisa. All the Braisa meant is that she doesn't have a kesem retroactively. But of course, the kesem that she has is going to make her tamei nida from this point going forward. Now the Gemara says, okay, you want to say that pshat in the Braisa? Go back to the Tanakama of that Braisa. There were two opinions in the Braisa. It sounds like, according to the Tanakama, we're going to go back retroactively. Meaning, if Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus says that she has a kesem only from this point going forward, and the Tanakama argues on Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, by definition, that must mean that according to the Tanakama, we're going to go back retroactively. So the Gemara says, not only is that a fair pshat in the Braisa, it's correct. In Reb Meir here, the Machmer Gabik Summon. Yes, Reb Meir actually is this stringent when it comes to a kesem. Detanya, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, Kol Anashim Kisman Tam Mafreya. When it comes to a woman who has a kesem, she will be tamei going back retroactively. And according to Rabbi Meir, yeah, even a woman who is dain shaitan, if she has a kesem, we're going to go back retroactively. Now, it's a little bit strange if you think about it. The sheet of Rabbi Meir. If she has a re'iyah, a visualization of her own discharge, and she's under the category of dain shaitan, so obviously she's an ida, but only from this point going forward. And meanwhile, with the din derabanan of kesem, according to a mayor, we're going to go back retroactively. Now, as much as it sounds a little bit strange, right? One's the din deraisa, the other is the din derabanan. By din deraisa, we're going to be mako. By the din derabanan, we're going to be machmir. Okay, if I frame it like that, it sounds strange. But if we just point out the obvious difference with a re'iyah, so she now knows this is when the blood came, meaning she actually had, she had a current status of her menstrual cycle beginning. Masha Inke, when it comes to a kesem is clouded in mystery, meaning she discovers the stain on her clothing. When did it come? I don't know. Well, did you feel it coming out? No. Okay, fine. So Minotaur, you're not a nida. But Midraban, you are a nida. Now, when did it get there? Well, I don't know. And to say that you're only going to be tummy from the point of discovery, meaning the facts are, this name was there beforehand. That's why, even though it's a din derabanan, but we have to go back retroactively. I mean, we don't have to. But Rav Meir's telling us that we have to go back retroactively, because otherwise, when did it get here? Okay, so even though it's a din derabanan, and we tend to be more makel by dini derabanan, by kesem, just by the nature of the kesem, we're going to go back. Right now, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, now we're just going to go forward in the brisa, but quite frankly, we've made the point. Meaning the Gemara wanted to say, is Rabbi Meir really machmer when it comes to a kesem, that we're going to go back retroactively? And the answer is yes. And we just quoted the brisa, and the brisa just told us. So obviously we'll finish the brisa, but point being made already. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, Rabbi Nashim Shamru Chacham, and Dain Shaitan Kisman Kiryasam, that when, according to Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, a woman who is in the category of Dain Shaitan, where we don't go back retroactively, her kesem is going to be treated like a re'iyah. Meaning, her re'iyah is only tamei from this point going forward. Same thing with a kesem. It's only going to make her tamei from this point going forward. V'tinoka, she gives man l'ros, yesh la kesem. A girl who has reached the age of menstruation, even though she hasn't started menstruating yet, she's in the gzera of tsamim. Ushalogi is manaliros elam kesem. And a woman a girl who has not yet reached the age of menstruation, so then she does not have the gzera derabban of kesem.
We call her tinok, even though she's. Why didn't she
tinok? Tinok over here just simply means underage.
But since she gives manaliros, it would make her an ara.
Right, correct. The Brisa just wants to say that she's underage. Meaning, but being underage, there's still going to be a threshold in which she's going to be in the gzera of tsamim. Ve'masaygias manaliros mishigia yimei hanu'urim. Now, what is the when do we say that she has reached the age of menstruation? Again, the age of menstruation does not mean she actually menstruated, because then you know. We're talking about just simply, when is she entering into this developmental stage where we now have to be concerned? So the Braisa ends off with, quite frankly, a lot of ambiguity. Oh, you know when? When she reaches Yimei HaNe'urim. When she gets to that age. Okay, obviously we're looking for better, better definitions in terms of, not better, clear definitions in terms of what that age is. Again, later on in the Gemara, we're going to talk about it in more detail. Okay, again, it happens to be that we're going to discuss this in more detail later on. So I can wait till later to discuss it. All right, Adkan. All right, that takes us to the first sugya of today's daf. We have discussed a woman who has a veskavu, has a fixed cycle. We spoke about when she saw on her fixed cycle, when she saw before her fixed cycle, machlokes between the Chacham and Rav Dosa. When is the machlokes between the Chacham and Rav Dosa? Two possibilities, but the Gemara landed on the more stringent of the two possibilities. We then explored a woman who has a kesem. She's going to be a tamanita. That's a given. Are we going to go back retroactively? That too is a machlokas hatanayim. Rabbi Chanin ben Tigna says that if she enjoys the status of dain shaitan for her re'iyah, she also is going to enjoy the status of dain shaitan for her kesem as well. Rameir's machmir. Rameir says that even for the woman who's dain shaitan for her re'iyah, for her kesem are going to go back retroactively. What's the svar behind that? So we gave it a little bit earlier. Let's continue in the Gemara. We're at the two dots right now, and we are continuing in the Mishnah, Hamishameshes Be'edim. A woman has relations with her husband. The Mishnah talks about a woman having relations with her husband, and the woman describes how that examination she does is going to help her vis-a-vis going back retroactively. Meaning, in our Mishnah, what did we learn together? That a woman who starts to see Dam, so she is going to be Tameya retroactively 24 hours. Again, we're going like the Shita of the Chachamim. So the Haisa Yoshevis Bimita. No, that's not the part of the Mishnah I'd like to focus on right now. Hamishameshes Be'edim, an earlier part of the Mishnah. Sorry. I'm back on Beis Amud Aleph. I'm just looking at the Mishnah again. Hamishameshes Be'edim, a woman who has relations with her husband, using Edim. Edim are the clause that she uses for investigation, for examination. Harezu Kipikida. So this is going to be treated like an internal examination. And what it's going to do is, it's going to now minimize the retroactive tumah. In other words, whenever she checked herself to be with her husband, so that now creates a new point in which, if she's a nida later on, we're going to go back to this point. And we're not going to go back to an earlier period of time. Now, if you think about it, the Mishnah really isn't saying much. Meaning, well, I take it back. Obviously, aside from the fact that the Mishnah is describing that when a woman's with her husband, she's going to do an examination. We'll talk more about this later in the Masechta in terms of whether, in general, that's necessary if she's not dealing with Taharos. We're talking about a woman who's dealing with Taharos. So she's going to be doing an examination before she's with her husband. It sounds like she's doing an examination before Tashmish and after Tashmish. And as far as what the point the Mishnah is making is, well, once she does those examinations for Tashmish, that creates now a new set point. So that if later she becomes Tamei, well, it's only going to go back to this period of time because she did an examination. If you think about it, what did the Mishnah just tell us? Not a lot. She did an examination. So of course now this creates a new period of time where she knows for sure she's not in Nida. So to that, the Gemara now has the following discussion. HaMishamesh is Be'edim Amar Rav Yehuda Mashmol, Eish Lefnei Tashmish, Eino Mamai Kipikida. She's doing an examination before Tashmish and after Tashmish. The examination she does before Tashmish, so that is not a proper examination. Meaning, if all she did was the examination before Tashmish, and then later she discovers herself to be a Nida, and she's going to go back 24 hours, this examination before Tashmish that was done, let's say, 12 hours ago, is not going to clear her from any time beforehand. Meaning she's going to have to go back the full 24 hours. Why? The Gemara wants to know. That's the Gemara's very next question. My time. So the Gemara says, well, it's right before Tashmish Shemitah. She's going to be with her husband. And so she's going to be with her husband. So the Gemara says, okay. She's going to be with her husband. That's a mitzvah. That's great. So what? So the Gemara says, Mitoch Shemum Labesa, Eno Machnesas Achon Lesdakim. So the Gemara says, okay, but at the very same time, she's not going to be focused. She's not going to do a proper bedika. The Gemara describes a proper bedika as chon l'sdakin, meaning that she has to make sure that she checks all the crevices of her interior. And if she doesn't do that, that's not a proper bedika. And understandably, the Gemara is not judging. The Gemara is just simply, it's the reality. Understandably, a woman, before she's with her husband, so at this point in time, she does not have the time right now or the focus to go through chon l'sdakin. And so therefore, it's not a proper examination. It begs the question, well, if it's not a proper examination, so why is she doing it? Meaning, what would be the point of it? Hold that question. I'm going to come back to answer that question a little bit later on. But in the meantime, that's the statement of Rav Yehuda Mer Shmuel, that the bedika before Tashmish doesn't count. Vis-a-vis the Tumah L'Mafreya of 24 hours. So Tanan, the Gemara says, okay, I'm going to go back to the Mishnah. I'm going to reread the Mishnah. Hamishamash Beidim Harizek Pekida. A woman who has relations using these clause, an examination clause, so it is considered an examination. So my love chalif netashmish v'chalach netashmish. Now read it carefully because hamishamesh is be'edim. How many clauses are being described over here? Two. And presumably one's before Tashmish and one's after Tashmish. And I'm going to make an obvious point. Okay, I'm not going to take a lot of credit for this point either. It can't be one because the examination done with the same cloth again, what good is that? Meaning, it didn't tell us anything. It was already used for a previous examination. Now, it happens to be that if the examination cloth after it's being reused is clean after both times, okay. But obviously, you're going to use a new examination cloth for that second examination. Anyway, two examination cloths. Isn't one before Tashmish and the other is Tashmish? And the Mishnah seems to say that either one of them is going to serve as a examination. So the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Lo, idi v'idi l'achar Tashmish. No. The Edim is talking about after Tashmish. Why do I need two examination clauses if it's just after Tashmish? And the answer is v'echala v'echala. Once for her, once for him, kid to none. And that's the mission that we're going to be seeing in the beginning of the second parak of the Masechta. Derech Menosh Yisrael Mesham Shos B'shnei Edim, echala v'echala. That in terms of Tashmish, so there are two Edim that are going to be used, one for him and one for her. So how am I? The Gemara says, then wait 1 second. Let me see if I understand this correctly. If one's before Tashmish and the other one's after Tashmish, so then I understand. So then I get the point, meaning that you could have made the argument that we just made, that the one done before Tashmish, she's not focused right now, and it's not going to be a good bedika. And the point that Bryce is making, or better stated, the point the Mishnah is making is that that's considered a good examination. I get it. But Ela I amart idiv idil achar Tashmish pshita. So the Gemara says, but if we're talking about where the examination clauses are being used after Tashmish, one by him and one by her, so the Gemara says, what's the chiddush? So ma'u detema shematira kipas dam kechada v'techap ben ashech gazera kamash malan. The Gemara says, no, I'll tell you what the chiddush is. Look, right now, she has more than just one type of body fluid inside of her. Meaning after Tashmish, she potentially can have dam, but she also for sure has Shech Vazera. She just engaged in Tashmish with her husband. And so therefore the concern would be that if she did a bedika afterwards, maybe there was blood there. Why don't we see the blood? Because of the mixing of the bodily fluids. Meaning that right over the blood, there's also Zera that sits right on top of the blood. And we could envision an argument, we could make an argument that that's not a good bedika, because there's blood and right over it is zera, and that inhibits us from seeing the blood. That's the argument you could have made. So kamash malan. So that's the chiddush. So the Gemara says the truth is that the examinations that are significant, halachically significant, are the ones after Tashmish. Then what's the point? What's the chiddush? What we just described, because of the bodily fluids. Ibai Sam, the Gemara points out, shei bedikos it's rechu rabbanan. Chalif ne Tashmish v'chalach or Tashmish. So the Gemara says that when it comes to another possibility is that there are two bedikas that the Chachamim demanded. One before Tashmish and one after Tashmish. V'chi katani harizah kepikida alachar Tashmish. And as far as the Mishnah telling us that it serves as a pekida, meaning it is a proper examination, that part of the Mishnah is only going on the second Tashmish. The second bedika. The post-Tashmish bedika. So the Gemara says, v'ha ha-mishamesh is katani. So the Gemara says, I'm not sure if that's the correct shot. Meaning, the Mishnah says, ha-mishameshes. Now, ha-mishameshes, she happens to be using her examination clause. The wording of the Mishnah, the syntax of the Mishnah, seems to indicate that this is not an obligation. It just happens to be. It's a suggestion. So the Gemara says, tani u-mishameshes. So the Gemara says, okay, I agree. That's really, you're right. If the Mishnah had a hay in it, so then your reading would be a fair reading. Let's edit the Mishnah. The Mishnah should say, u'mishameshes, meaning this is instruction. A woman, when dealing with taharos, needs to do an examination two times over, one before Tashmish, one after Tashmish. But in terms of which one is going to be significant, so the one that's going to be significant vis-a-vis reducing the Tumah l'Mafreya is going to be the one that's post-Tashmish. Okay, so quick summary of our last discussion is that when it comes to a woman who is going to be with her husband, she's going to be doing a bedika twice, once before, once after. Again, this is not, everyone understand the context in which we're discussing. The woman here is working with taharos. She wants to make sure that which she works with is going to remain tahor. She wants to make sure that she, even though she's going to be with her husband, that is not going to compromise the taharos that she's working with. Under those circumstances, a woman is going to be doing a bedika before she's with her husband, both before and after. But what Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel has taught us, and the Gemara has defended, is that vis-a-vis which of the examinations is going to be an actual reduction of her 24 hours, going back retroactively, it's only the post-Tashmish bedika, not the pre-Tashmish bedika. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara, we're on the very bottom of Hamad Aleph. Memetas al yad me'es la'es. The Mishnah made the following statement regarding this bedika during Tashmish. I mean, I say during, I mean before and after. It's going to reduce. What's it going to reduce? The Mishnah made a statement which, a little funny. Mishnah says it's going to reduce the me'es la'es, the 24 hours. It's going to reduce pekida. Meaning, if, let's say, the last exam, remember, woman does examination when she's working with taharos, the morning and evening. So that means that basically she has clear 12 hours if she does her regular bedikas. What we're learning now is that this Tashmish will be able to be a reduction of the previous 24 hours, and the examination before and after Tashmish is also going to reduce from a previous examination, which obviously means it's a shorter period of time. Meaning, let's say she did an examination in the evening, and then she was with her husband 5 hours later. So then, if the examination came out good, so then it'll reduce, meaning next morning when she discovers she's a Nida, she doesn't have to go all the way back to the evening, she only has to go back to when she was with her husband. What the Gemara just wants to know is, isn't that obvious? So, and the Gemara says, Memetas yad mesa, hasha mesa eis memetas, me bekida bekida me baye. If I'm able to knock out a larger window of time, so doesn't it make sense that we can knock out a smaller window of time? So the Gemara says, Noel, ma'u detema meis la'es, chashubar rabban, lipsedet tataros, avam bekida bekida lo kamash malan. Well, the Gemara presents the following argument. Well, you know, it knocks out a good window of time, meaning the meis la'es, because that's a lot of taharos that you're going to lose. And maybe the examination, even the post-Tashmish examination, maybe it's not the best, but the Chachamim say, but let's save all those taharos. But if we're just talking about a small window of time, maybe the Chachamim weren't ready to accept this bedika as a bona fide bedika. Kamash Malan, we're going to treat the bedika like a bona fide bedika. Mm-hmm. Continuing in the Gemara, we're on Hamad Beis. Ketzad, Dayashaita. Okay, now we get to look at the next part of the Mishnah. Go back to the Mishnah on Beis Hamad Aleph, and we are now up to the next part of the Mishnah, which is, what exactly do we mean by Dayashaita? The Mishnah gives the following illustration. Ketzad Dayashaita, Haisa Yosheves Bimita, she was on her bed. V'asuka b'taharos. And while doing so, she was also involved in taharos, food that she wanted to remain tahor. U Pirsha, And the Mishnah describes now that she separates from the food, meaning that she is not in contact with the food. Virasa, he tameh vehein taharos. She, of course, now is a nida. But because she is not currently handling the food, she only was historically handling the food, so the food remains tahor. And that's obviously describing a woman who is now going to be dayashaita. That would be an example of, we don't go back retroactively. Fine. Simple illustration. The Gemara's question over here is really simple. In the simple illustration, what is she doing on the bed? That's a funny detail, right? She's sitting on the bed. Okay. So, lama lemisne, that's Gemara's question. Lama lemisne haisa yeshevas mimita. V'aska b'taharos. Lisne haisa asuka b'taharos. Upirsha v'rasa. If we're giving a simple illustration, I can make it even simpler. And that is, she's working with taharos. She stopped working with taharos. She then becomes anida. If we're talking about a woman's dayashaita, we're not going to go back retroactively. What is the bed coming to introduce over here? Hakamashman tama de dayashaita. Hame esa es mita nami mitamya. So the Gemara says, oh, the bed is important. Because if we're saying that she is dayashaita, we're not going to go back retroactively. I get it. But what if we are saying that she's going back retroactively? Now, let's think this through and let me speak it out. We're going to go back retroactively. Now, going back retroactively means what? It means that even though she sees the blood coming out now, the suspicion is, the concern is that the blood was in her canal and it was in there for the last 24 hours. Right now, from this point going forward, we're going to assume like the Chachamim. Not like Hillel, not like Shammai, the Chachamim. We're going to go back 24 hours. Okay, and that is a chash. It's a rabbinic concern, right? For the reasons that we described in the beginning of the Masechta. Good. Now, this rabbinic concern, does that mean that she's going to have retroactively the full status of anida? Now, for a moment, let's talk about what does that mean, the full status of anida. A woman who is anida, she's an avatumah, she's a source of tumah. But not only is she a source of tumah, but she also has a special chumra, a special stringency that is specific to these types of women, or these types of people, I should say, who is tumah yotze migufa. The tumah comes out of their body, and that is medrash. Medrash is, the term of medrash is that when you're sitting on something that is meant to sit on, or when you're lying down on something that's meant to be lied down on, i.e. a chair, i.e. a bed, so those items are going to be tameh to the same degree of tumah that she was. That means that if she sat on a bed while anida, while being anida, I'm not talking about now retroactively, we're going to come to that in just a moment. If she sits on a bed while being anida, or lies down on a bed while being anida, the bed now is going to be not a rishon l'tumah. The bed's going to be an avatumah. Someone touches the bed is going to be now a rishon. And not only is he going to be tameh, or she, doesn't matter who touches the bed, not only is that person going to be tameh, but the tumah is such a strong tumah that they're going to be tameh. The clothing they're wearing is going to be tameh as well, meaning it is a serious tumah. Okay, now, here's what we're saying. This retroactive tumah that's pushed back 24 hours, retroactive from the time that she saw, so this is a chashash, this is a concern. You could have envisioned, you could have argued, okay, I know we're going to go back retroactively, but to the full force of tumah of anida, that's exactly the point. Mm-hmm. Yes, the answer is yes. Misayel leziri damaziri meisayishem anida osem mishkav emoshel v'tamei adam v'tamei begadim. So the Gemara says this fits in right alongside with what Zira has taught us. Zira has taught us that a woman who is going back 24 hours, so she is going to be Tameh, Mishkav Umoshav, so that if somebody touches Mishkav Umoshav of the Nida, even though she sat on it yesterday, not today. Today she saw a Nida. We're going back retroactive 24 hours. And she knows she sat on it yesterday within the last 24 hours. And someone touches that chair or that bed, that person's going to be tameh. And not only is that person going to be tameh, the clothing that person's going to wear is also tameh as well. So michte ha-mita davashim bo dasli shalhu. So the Gemara says, now, it's interesting. You know the bed? You can't really question the bed. It's an inanimate object. So v'chol davashim bo dasli shal sveko tar. So the Gemara says, so it's really a suffix. It's interesting. The Gemara here is describing the me'es la'es as a suffix. But at the very same time, you hear it. You hear the Gemara. We don't know that she was in need of the last 24 hours. It's a chashash of the Chacham to go back 24 hours. So it's a suffix. Suffix of something that you can't ask, meaning suffix of a woman within the last 24 hours. fine. Meaning because, what do we say by a safek tuma birshus hayachid? We say that it's fake or tame. But over here, it's the bed. The bed's an inanimate object. So tirka maziri, kish chavrasa nosos osa bimita. Da'avila yad chavrasa. So the Gemara says, well, we're talking about where the bed was being carried together with her, meaning the bed is basically an extension of her. And the Gemara says, and I'll tell you the truth, we don't even have to be that fancy in a pshat. We don't have to give such a sophisticated pshat. Because Rav Yochanan taught us the following, that if I have safik tuma, haba bidei adam, meaning that the safik is not in an animate object. The safik is not by a person. But the safik was created by a person, even though the object of safik is inanimate, that is considered das lishao. So nishal ala afilo beklimunach agabe karka kimishiyesh bo das lishao. Afa pishein chavasa nosos osa bemita. And then under those circumstances, you don't have to give such a fancy pshat. Meaning by virtue of the fact that the suffix came through her, and she has das lishao, therefore the bed itself is considered das lishao, and so therefore we're going to be machmir regarding suffix. Das lishao? Das lishao means that there's a mind, meaning it's a person. It's a conscious individual that we can ask the question to. And that follows the paradigm of sota. The paradigm of sota is that the suffix occurred with a woman who you can ask. Like I already pointed out, asking her questions is not going to help. Meaning, it's not going to change the status. But it gives us the paradigm. So that means that the suffix has to be with somebody you can ask. This bed, you can't ask. So again, the first approach of the Gemara was, well, she was being carried with the bed. So the bed is an extension of her. The Gemara says, you don't need such a fancy approach. It's a simpler approach, which is that Das Lishal, the criteria of Das Lishal just simply means the suffix came about through a person, even though the suffix is not in the person, the suffix is in the object. But as long as the suffix came through the person, that's considered Das Lishal, and so therefore the bed is subject to this, follows the paradigm of Yesh Bo Das Lishal, and therefore it's going to be Tameh. Just summarizing the last part of the Gemara that we did, tomorrow we'll start with the words Gufa. So the discussion of the examination, the post-Tashmish examination, is going to reduce the Meis, and it's going to reduce the Pekida. Why the excessive language? The Gemara explained that. And then finally, we discussed today what's with the detail of the bed? Why did the Mishnah over here give us an example of a woman who was working with Taharos while on a bed, and then she's separated from the Taharos, and now she's Parosh Nida, and she's talking about a woman who's Dayashaita, where we don't go back retroactively? Why the bed? And the answer is, it's a fundamental answer. Because if we did go back retroactively, so then we're going to say under those circumstances that she's going to be in the time of the bed like an actual nida herself, meaning the bed is tami mishkav Moshe, meaning that if somebody touches the bed, they're going to be tami, the clothing is going to be tami as well. Go ahead.